Hallelujah. Verse number 17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All the nations that forget God will be turned into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Wow. In just a few days, our country is going to celebrate its 243rd birthday. 243 years. I am an American, and I declare that I love America. Amen. Amen. America is like no other nation in the world. It just unsurpasses it surpasses everything. All other nations. Our country is abundant in its territory, its resources, its achievements, its versatility, its strength, and its beauty. I love America not only because it is great, but because it is gracious. America has shared its wealth, its scientific discoveries, its technology, its medical accomplishments, and much, much more with the rest of the world. I love America because of its gifts to me. It has given me the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. One man asked another, isn't it true that both the Soviet Union and the American Constitution guarantee freedom of speech? And the other man replied, the American Constitution also guarantees freedom after speech. Yeah. Amen. So what's happening in our country today? We hear unsettled things. We see disturbing things. We are really disturbed and concerned about the conclusions we form about our America. A groom was terribly nervous on the eve of his wedding. What's wrong? Have you lost your ring? Asked a friend. No, answered the groom sadly. I've lost my enthusiasm. And it's sad to say, but today many Christians have lost their enthusiasm. Even their love for this country and the honor of its flag has waned. But I know God has me, along with countless ministers, standing in the pulpit today to encourage each of us to get serious about our country's future. It's time to take America back. It's time to remember the founding fathers' dreams for America. And it's time to make America a godly nation once again. Listen to this statement. A man who won't use his freedom to defend his freedom doesn't deserve his freedom. A man who won't use his freedom to defend his freedom doesn't deserve his freedom. So what's going on to determine the destiny of our nation? What's it going to take to determine the destiny? So I want to share a few thoughts with you about that very thing. I believe America's destiny will be determined, first of all, by its remembrance of the sacred. We just read in Psalm 9:17, we just read how evil nations will be destined for hell. America's destiny will ultimately be determined by her choice to remember her God. A South American president once said, South America was founded by men seeking gold, but North America was founded by men seeking God. Another man is quoted as saying, the Spaniards came here for gold. The French came here for gain. But the original colonists came here for God. Amen. I believe America has reached the pinnacle of greatness unlike any other nation in human history because our founding fathers established American laws and precepts on the principles of the Word of God, and this included the Ten Commandments. Amen. Amen? God has blessed this nation because in its early days that she thought to honor Him. Americans honored God. Amen? And Psalm 33:12, and it's still in the Bible, no one's taking this out, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance." Hallelujah. That's a promise, folks. Amen? Hallelujah. If America gives God His rightful place again, then she may be well blessed again. However, I have a nagging desire to go across this land and scream, "Wake up! Amen. Wake up, America! Give God His rightful place." Yeah. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, they knelt upon the shore, thanking God for giving them this new land. The worship of Jesus Christ was the focal point of every new settlement. And when the Continental Congress faced problems and conflicts, and they knew not which way to turn, Benjamin Franklin called upon the members of Congress to fall upon their knees and pray. It is a well-known fact that the founding fathers of the United States of America wrote their faith in God into the Constitution. They wrote their beliefs in God into the Constitution. They also put the words "In God We Trust" on our money, right? And our superior educational institutions were based upon the Word of God. In fact, the first American universities upon this continent were Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, and all three of them were established to train pastors for the ministry. The reason America has stood for more than 200 years is that God has been involved in her history. Even from the beginning. Benjamin Franklin uttered these profound words, "God surely was no idle spectator when this great nation was born in His name and with His grace." Amen. Today you'll hear people say, "What about the separation of church and state?" That statement has become one of Satan's biggest lies and one of his most destructive lies. You'll never find that statement, folks, or anything remotely connected to it in the Constitution of the United States. However, you will find in the First Amendment these words, "Congress will make no law respecting the establishment of religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof." It says nothing about you and me, the church, getting involved in government. It is saying that the government cannot get involved in the business of the church. The statement separation of church and state was made by Thomas Jefferson in a letter. The very meaning of his statement is misconstrued today. Jefferson knew exactly what he meant when he wrote it. In fact, this is what he wrote with it. "The First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state, but that wall is a one-directional wall. It keeps the government from running the church, but it makes sure the Christian principles will always stay in government." Amen. Our forefathers never sought to exclude God. Rather, they made every effort to place a declaration of their faith in God into every document. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason We can thank God, and this is the reason why America has stood against evil for so long. Now, listen very carefully to the words of Chief Justice Earl Warren, given in an interview with Time magazine in 1954. He said, "I believe no one can read the history of our country without realizing the good book and the good spirit of the Savior have, from the beginning, been our guiding geniuses. Whether we look to the first charter of Virginia, or the charter of New England, or the charter of Massachusetts Bay, or to the fundamental orders of Connecticut, the same object is present: a Christian land governed by Christian principles. I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge our forefathers had of the Bible and their belief in it. Freedom of belief, of expression, of assembly, of petition, the dignity of the individual, the sanctity of the home, equal justice of the law, and the reservation of powers to the people. I like to believe we are living today in the spirit of the Christian religion. I also like to believe that as long as we do so, no great harm can come to our country." Isn't that fantastic? Take us back to 1954, God. We have a heritage, brothers and sisters. A mighty heritage. So let's go back for a minute beyond the Constitutional Convention, beyond the Declaration of Independence, even beyond the pilgrims arriving in this part of the world. And I want you to go back with me about 500 years or more to the days of Christopher Columbus. Listen to what old Chris had to say. "It was the Lord who put my mind to sail from Spain. I could feel his hand upon me. There is no question that my inspiration to sail came from the Holy Ghost of God." Do you see how God was working for America even before the founding of America? The blessings that have flowed within this nation are a direct result of the early settlers and the early forefathers making a concerted effort to remember God in every aspect of the decisions and documents and governments of this great land. Our continued remembrance of Him is essential to any future blessings and happiness we can enjoy as a nation. However, many of our fellow Americans have simply forgotten about the miracle of our history. Benjamin Franklin, at 87 years of age, made this profound statement: "I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of the truth that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is improbable that an empire can rise without his aid." Amen? America, we can't forget our God. We cannot forget our God. Abraham Lincoln said more than 125 years ago, he said this: "We have forgotten God." He said, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which has enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined that all things were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." Wow. Then he went on to say, "Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us." Wow. Folks, today it appears that we have failed to remember the role of the Almighty in our country. America must not forget where she came from. Amen? I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Read verse 10 and 11 and then drop down to verse 18. Holler when you're there. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Now drop down to verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Wow. God's got some ideas. God's got some thoughts. And he wants us to line up with him, folks. He just wants us to be obedient. All right. Another thing, America's destiny will be determined by its rebuke of sin. Its rebuke of sin. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. Abraham Lincoln said, the smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. America is riddled today with pornography and perversion. These sins are a disgrace to a Christian nation, and yet they have become tolerated and even accepted. Abortion slaughters countless babies every year. Now there are plans to kill babies even after they are born. Isn't that murder? How long before that thinking migrates to our senior citizens? Or to those with mental illness or deformity? Or incurable diseases? What about the scandals in high places that rock our country? Organized crime flourishes throughout the land. Our nation is engulfed with sin, brothers and sisters. It is engulfed in sin and is threatening the very foundation of our country. I recently read that the Boy Scouts 24th Annual World Scout Jamboree, scheduled to begin on July 21st, 2019, this about knocked me off my chair, is mandating that condoms be ready and easily accessible to the event. The issue of homosexuality in America, it should be a wake-up call to Christians. As believers, we love the sinner, we hate the sin. If the LGBTQ group are permitted to get certain rights that they continue to lobby for, it won't be long before any organized group will attempt to do the same.
Pastor, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Sure.
Different things without the states. So I have that website, guys, and I would like to give after the service so you can check out the bill.
Amen.
To write your congressman if you want to make a comment
there. I'm going to make a comment about that too in just a minute. There are some things that are legal, but they're definitely not moral and not biblical. Example, living together outside the bounds of marriage may be legal, but it's not moral and it's not biblical. 50% of Americans will get sexually transmitted disease by the age of 25. That's their prediction today. The country with the highest sexually transmitted disease rate of all industrialized countries is the United States. The country Noah Webster said this: the moral principles and precepts contained in the scriptures ought to form the basis of all civil constitutions and laws. Most of us heard this statement: all that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Amen. Just recently, a group of preachers met with several of our Christian senators and representatives to discuss what could be done to stop the moral free fall in America. One of the greatest concerns of the legislatures was expressed several times: where is the church? One senator said, I received 16 letters from pro-homosexual advocates for every one letter of opposition.
Again, I've got that website, so you can make your voice known.
Amen.
Please see me after the service.
Amen. Then he said, where are the Christians? Where are the church? We cannot sit idly by, brothers and sisters, and watch America deteriorate. Think about our grandkids, our great-grandkids. There have been nights I laid awake thinking about our grandkids. I'll be out of here before anything terrible happens. But not my kids, not my grandkids. What's our level of responsibility to them? Yes, Jesus is coming back. He's closer than we've ever been. But we have no guarantees of when. Psalm chapter 90, verse 4 teaches us that 1,000 years to us is like one day to God. We must cry out and we must cry loud. Christians must vote principles and not personalities, vote morals, not money, write letters, demand your rights. When will America repent of its ungodly transgressions? It seems so apparent that the word sin has disappeared from the modern vocabulary. Today we tolerate, laugh at, and even enjoy the things that 30 years ago would have deeply, deeply shocked us. We call sin everything but what it truly is. What God calls drunkenness, we call alcoholism. What God calls perversion, we call an alternate lifestyle. What God calls immorality, we call the new morality. What God calls pornography, we call entertainment. As Christians, we know sin sears the conscience. Sin destroys the home. Sin devours the nation. More importantly, sin damns the soul. Today, there's an unresponsiveness, an indifference towards sin. And I said earlier, we have lost our enthusiasm. Right now, Ungodly folks are just bold and brash. They even flaunt their sin. There's a wantonness. Their behavior is unrestrained. There's unfaithfulness. There's a lack of commitment to each other. There is this ungratefulness as our citizens live for self. General Douglas MacArthur, he spoke the truth when he said the following words. History fails to record a single precedent in which nations subject to moral decay have not passed into political and economic decline. There has been either a spiritual awakening to overcome the normal lapse or a progressive deterioration leading to ultimate national disaster. Oh, that we might hear the voices of the past. Oh, that we might heed the voice of God. What else will determine the destiny of our great nation? It's the respect for saints. Respect for saints. If God could have found 10 righteous people, he would have spared Sodom from destruction. During the war with Germany, Winston Churchill, then Prime Minister of England, paid great tribute to the pilots in a speech before the House of Commons by saying this, "Never in the history of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." The pilots, though they were few in number, in comparison to the number of people they saved, had kept Great Britain from being defeated by the German warplanes. Few we are, but the righteous have spared many cities in America from destruction, folks. The righteous people have saved many cities in America from destruction year after year. You may not have political power. You may not be famous. You may not be a genius or have a great fortune. But if you are of a tremendous value to society simply because you are living a holy life. Little do others know how valuable the righteous are to the well-being of their community, their city, and their country. The righteous are the ones within whom the Holy Spirit continues to be active in our society today. A little while back, a Canadian paper reported the effects of a recent storm which had swept through a nearby town. The report read, "We are glad to announce that the windstorm which blew down the congregational church did no serious damage to the town." Listen, folks, the church was of such little significance that its destruction was not even considered a loss to the town. Amen? The Christian church should be and must be regarded as much more important than any other establishment in the community. Amen? Amen? After all, the Christians are the one who are keeping evil away today. Amen. You take the Holy Spirit out of here and you watch this place go down quick. Yes. It's the Holy Spirit that's guarding our communities, our cities, our states, and our country. Go ahead.
There's a scripture, Jeremiah 29:7, says, "Seek the peace of the city where I caused you to be carried away captive, in my case, it's wherever you live, and pray to the Lord for it, for its peace, and you will have peace."
Amen.
I always pray for every city where I live.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29:7.
What about respect for Bible and preaching of God's word? Isn't it time for Americans to once again respect the preaching of the Holy Scriptures? Years ago, a French diplomat said, "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." Saints, we're still in need of fiery pulpits, unafraid to preach against sin. We need respect for people that live according to godly principles. We need respect for prayers that prevail. A return to the reliance in the power of prayer. In 1904, a great revival movement began in Wales. The impact on the moral condition of that nation was overwhelming. Judges had almost no cases brought to trial. There were virtually no serious crimes or robberies. Drunkenness was cut in half, and many taverns were forced to close for lack of business. The illegitimate birth rate dropped 44% within a year of the beginning of the revival. How did all this happen? Prayer. Prayer. Saints, the importance of prayer cannot be overemphasized. It cannot be overemphasized. Lord, help us seek your face and make America a praying nation again. The last thing that will determine America's destiny is our relationship to the Jews, God's chosen people. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of earth shall be blessed. These words were, of course, spoken over Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. God promised to Abraham that whoever blessed him would receive a blessing. And it was through Abraham that the nation of Israel was eventually established. Consequently, man will be blessed by God when he blesses the nation of Israel. Does our Congress fight against that? Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Every nation that has ever persecuted the Jews has felt the hard hand of God upon them. On the contrary, every nation that has supported the Jews has felt the hand of God's blessings upon them. Is there any doubt that God has blessed America because we've stood in alliance with Israel? If America wants her fields to remain white with grain, her scientific achievements to remain notable, and her freedom to remain intact, we must continue to stand with Israel. History shows that God deals with the nations in relation to how those nations deal with Israel. Hallelujah. There was a man who had just bought a huge grandfather clock for his living room. He went to bed that night excited about his new clock. Several nights later, something went wrong with the new clock. As it began to strike, he counted 10, 11, 12, 13. He jumped up and shouted to his wife, "Get up! It's later than I ever knew it to be." I want us to relate that truth to America. Right now, there's a lady running for president who wants everyone to be supplied with a salary from the federal government. To fund this, the government will take all you have that is considered excess and give it to others so that we are all equal. And this insane idea will only last until they've run out of people with money. Then for the first time, one of the political parties is openly calling themselves socialists. Consider this. Throughout our history, there have been thousands upon thousands of American soldiers who have given their lives fighting against socialism, which is also called communism. There have been countless survivors who have been maimed, lost limbs, suffered brain injuries, become totally disabled because they believed in America's ideals and fought to help ensure those values in our country and for others. And now we are supposed to accept socialism? I'm old enough to remember Nikita Khrushchev, president of Russia, taking his shoe off and beating it on a desk at the United Nations. And one of the things he was famous for saying was that we will take you from the inside out. Coming true. Christians cannot be silent any longer. It's time the silent majority takes our nation back. Abraham Lincoln declared, "If destruction be our lot, we ourselves will be its author." If destruction be our lot, we ourselves will be our author. There's a term that it took me a while to wrap my head around. The term is called righteous anger. Christians are always supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to be peaceable, calm, bring peace into the situations. But there's a term that's used throughout the teachings of the Word of God about righteous anger. If you remember the story about Jesus going to heal Jairus' daughter. Jairus was the leader of the synagogue, and they were on their way to Jairus' house when the woman with the issue of blood interrupted that journey, and she was healed, of course. You know the story. And finally, they got to Jairus' house, but the girl had already died. Jesus got there and had all these people. They said Jesus came to heal her, and they started laughing and hee-hawing and having a big time and telling that she's dead, you can't do anything. And the terminology used in that story is Jesus put them all out. He put them all out. This term is what they tagged righteous anger to. Jesus got angry, and he put them all out. The same term is used 38 times when Jesus cast out demons. He put them out. He got angry. It's the same term that Jesus used when he took the money changers and ran them out of the temple. Well, how do you relate righteous anger to the Word of God? Each of these cases were things that were against God's law. Do you hear me, folks? There's a place for you and me to have righteous anger over what people are doing to our country. Now, that righteous anger is not to go burn up abortion houses and beat up your senator. But that righteous anger is to motivate you to do something. We've lost our enthusiasm. But if you can get mad over what's been taken away from godly people, if it's righteous anger, it's okay. Jesus had it, and he never sinned. What's it going to take for you and me to stand up against this stuff? What's it going to take for you and me to vote? What's it going to take for you and me to write a letter? Odds are 16 to 1 in the letter writing. Come on. Where are we? I've got some righteous anger. You know what socialism does to the churches? Wipes them out. Communism has no place for churches. Khrushchev was one of the big leaders of that. Shut down the churches, religion. Can I stir you here a little bit this morning? It's time. It's time to do something. Don't vote personalities. Vote your faith. There was a few years back, there was a slogan, "Vote the Bible." It still should be out there. Don't let this stop with you. Talk to your friends. Righteous anger is okay if you're fighting God's fight. It's okay to bow up against Satan. In spiritual warfare, I don't think Satan moves when you say, "Get out of here." I think he moves when you mean it. As I said earlier, I think of my grandkids all the time. You should too. What kind of world have we brought them into? I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles. And I'll shut up. Second Chronicles, I want to start with verse 19.
What chapter?
Chapter 7. How many of you believe the word?
Amen.
About a third of you? Verse 19. "But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, 'Why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house?' Then they will answer, 'Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them.'"
Can we forward that to Washington?
Now, look at verse 14. Here's the solution. It's the solution, folks. If my people, who is that?
Us.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the solution. I'm going to read it again. If my people, Christians, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Way back when old Chris was coming to find America, God was with him. You know, this country founded on all these Christian principles. Wonderful country. But you know, when the end times come, America's not mentioned.
Yeah.
I understand that, and today I don't understand it because we'd be in everybody's business. But when the end time comes, I don't think we'll have enough power
to do anything.
To do anything. To be significant. Why? Because America's going downhill. Okay? So I got a battle within me. I know that at the end, America's not going to be much. But right now, I've got my kids, my grandkids, my great-grands. I've got a battle within me. So I'm going to fight with this righteous anger as long as I can to keep evil back. Amen. Come on. Come on. And preserve this country as long as I can. That's me. I'm going to do it as long as I can. I will fight against evil. And I'll do just like verse 14 says. I'll humble myself. I'll stop my wicked ways, which I know y'all think I'm close to perfect, but just so you know, I stumble. I'll pray. And I'll do that until Jesus calls me home. My prayer is you will too. That may put off the time Jesus comes, but what can I do? I've got to postpone that as long as I can to take care of my family. Remember, I'm passionate about God, passionate about my family, passionate about this country. So what I see in the future is a fight against evil in our country. You know, a lot of times I go to city council and I pray. I do their little invocation or whatever they call it. They got some religious name they call it. But it's prayer. And I pray for them people to have the wisdom from God.
Amen.
Every time I'm there, they will have the wisdom from God to make this community peaceable, right with people, people being able to get along, things to be kept away from here that are bad. It's almost like I've got to do that. So when that lady calls, sure, I'll be there. I got to do it. Part of my fight. You have a fight like that? Is there some place you can bow up against? That's what I call it. Get ready. I never was a Marine, so I don't know how to do it other than that, Larry. We need a fight. It'll not only help this country and our community, but it'll help you keep your eyes focused on God. Amen. Just use righteous anger. You fight him for God, not against him.
Yeah.
Are you with me, folks? I probably stepped on some toes. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Come on.
Toes need it. My toes need it. I've got a coffee cup that says, I can't remember what the first line is, but it's, yes, I'm a pastor. That's what it is. Yes, I'm a pastor. And no, that sermon last week was not for you. Not about you. Not about you. And the Holy Spirit that did that, not the pastor, right? I love our country. I just don't like the way it's been going.
We got the power to change that.
There you go. There you go. Motivate us. Rise us up. Yeah, raise us up, huh? Stand up and be counted. That's right. Right. I don't know where the apathy and this lack of enthusiasm or anything came from. All of a sudden, it was in our country. I hate it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I don't know when it started and the details about it. But it's here. And folks, we can get caught up in it. Man, it's easy to look the other way. It's easy not to make right choices. It's easy to get caught up in that junk.
Legislate itself.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to speak about homosexuals, LGBT at work without
getting caught.
I
have
a reprimand in my file right now for it. No, just because the government has mandated that I can't talk about it.
Yeah. There you go.
I can't speak against it. If I do, I'll get fired. If I do it again, I'll fire.
Just your personal opinion. It doesn't matter.
I'm just talking to another coworker. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to shut the lips of the righteous right there at work. The federal government.
You hear this, folks?
No, I can't hear him at all. I can hear that you're talking, but I can't understand what you're saying.
Larry was talking with a co-worker, and they were talking about something, the initials, I don't know all of them. Yeah. And he was overheard. He got a reprimand in his file about talking about that. And if he does it again, he'll be fired.
Yep.
Doesn't matter how good a job he does, how long he's been there, anything else,
the
he'll be fired.
The only thing saved my job was the fact that I wasn't an employee. I bossed it up for him. If it hadn't been for him, I would have fired.
That's today.
30 years of government service are going to take me out for saying something about LGBT. Mandated by the government. You cannot speak against him.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
isn't that freedom of speech?
Yeah. I mean, even on your own time in your own house, you know, or your own whatever you're typing on the internet, blog, all that, you know, that's one reason I don't have Facebook is because employers look for that. They want to look and see what's on your Facebook page.
Yep. Also can't post anything on social media about it.
And your freedom of speech
against
is not.
Against it, for or against it. That was my job.
Well, I don't mean to get us going on what's wrong. I mean to get us going on what we can do about it.
Yeah.
2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yes.
And then Jeremiah 29:7, praying for the city where you live.
That's it.
I mean, we're not necessarily captives here, but if you live in a city, don't you have a stake in what goes on there?
Yes.
Because your family is there, your property is there. You don't have to be a captive to pray for that.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
I don't. And again, guys, I've got these websites, and if you would take a look at it, it will really help open your eyes and your heart to what is being eroded away as we sit idle. The foundations of our nation and our laws are being eroded away by bills that are going through the House and the Senate right now, just in the state of Texas, and as well on the national level. But you're right. Our senators, our representatives, they don't hear a lot from Christians, you know, around time when it's time to help get out the word about who your representatives are, who are faith-based, and, you know, running when they're running for office. I mean, how many of us have gone down and supported a campaign, stuffed any envelopes, knocked on any doors, you know, passed out any flyers for any of our Christian representatives? I mean, praying is good, but I'm learning, you know, love without action is unexpressed.
Just words.
So is our faith, you know. I mean, for supporting what we say we believe in the government.
I can't support it and can't afford against
it. Well, I probably said more than a pastor's supposed to right now, too. So, but we're gonna pray, folks, and let's pray for our country. Amen.
Absolutely.
Lord Jesus, we know we are living in the greatest country in the world. Lord, you have blessed America, and Lord, we've disappointed you. Each one of us, I know that I have for sure. Lord, your word says you'll forgive us and you'll heal our land. So, Lord, we want to pray about America on this 4th of July, 243 years old. We want you to continue to bless our country, to take care of our country, to take care of the believers in our country. And Lord God, I just ask you to shut the doors of the evil invasion. I'm not talking about people, Lord. I'm talking about the evil invasion into our country. Lord, shut the doors in response to Christian prayers. Heal our land, Lord, and draw us back to you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Folks, have a great 4th of July.